"Hurry up," she said tensely to Harry and Ron. "Not the ruddy library again," said Ron. "No," said Hermione curtly, pointing up a side passage. "Neville?" Neville was standing alone, halfway up the passage, staring at the stone wall opposite him with the same horrified, wide-eyed look he had worn when Moody had demonstrated the Cruciatus curse.
"Neville,"
Hermione said, gently. Neville looked around.
"Oh, hello," he said,
his voice much higher than usual.
"Interesting lesson, wasn't it? I wonder what's for dinner. I'm starving, aren't you?"
"Neville, are you all right?" said Hermione.
"Oh, yes, I'm fine,"
Neville gabbled, in the same unnaturally high voice.
"Very interesting dinner, I mean lesson. What's for eating?"
Ron gave Harry a startled look. "Neville, what—" But an odd clunking noise sounded behind them, and they turned to see Professor Moody limping towards them. All four of them fell silent, watching him apprehensively. But when he spoke, it was in a much lower and gentler growl than they had yet heard.
"It's all right, sonny," he said to Neville. "Why don't you come up to my office? Come on, we can have a cup of tea."
Neville looked even more frightened at the prospect of tea with Moody. He neither moved nor spoke. Moody turned his magical eye upon Harry.
"You all right, are you, Potter?"
"Yes,"
said Harry, almost defiantly. Moody's blue eye quivered slightly in its socket as it surveyed Harry. Then he said,
"You've got to know. It seems harsh, maybe, but you've got to know. No point pretending. Well, come on, Longbottom. I've got some books that might interest you."
Neville looked pleadingly at Harry, Ron, and Hermione, but they didn't say anything, so Neville had no choice but to allow himself to be steered away, one of Moody's gnarled hands on his shoulder.
"What was that about?" said Ron, watching Neville and Moody turn the corner.
"I don't know," said Hermione, looking pensive.
"Some lesson, though, eh?" said Ron to Harry, as they set off for the great hall. "Fred and George were right, weren't they? He really knows his stuff, Moody, doesn't he? When he did Avada Kedavra, the way that spider just died, just snuffed it, right—" But Ron fell suddenly silent at the look on Harry's face, and didn't speak again until they reached the great hall, when he said he supposed they had better make a start on Professor Trelawney's predictions tonight, as they would take hours. Hermione did not join in with Harry and Ron's conversation during dinner, but ate furiously fast, and then left for the library again. Harry and Ron walked back to Gryffindor Tower, and Harry, who had been thinking of nothing else all through dinner, now raised the subject of the unforgivable curses himself. "Wouldn't Moody and Dumbledore be in trouble with the Ministry if they knew we'd seen the curses?" Harry asked, as they approached the fat lady.
"Yeah, probably," said Ron. "But Dumbledore's always done things his way, hasn't he? And Moody's been getting into trouble for years, I reckon. Attacks first and asks questions later. Look at his dustbins. Balderdash!"
The fat lady swung forwards to reveal the entrance hole, and they climbed into Gryffindor Common Room, which was crowded and noisy.
"Shall we get our divination stuff, then?" said Harry.
"I suppose," Ron groaned.
They went up to the dormitory to fetch their books and charts, and found Neville there alone, sitting on his bed, reading. He looked a good deal calmer than at the end of Moody's lesson, though still not entirely normal. His eyes were rather red.
"You all right, Neville?" Harry asked him.
"Oh, yes," said Neville. "I'm fine, thanks. Just reading this book Professor Moody lent me."
He held up the book, Magical Mediterranean Water Plants and Their Properties.
"Apparently Professor Sprout told Professor Moody I'm really good at herbology," Neville said. There was a faint note of pride in his voice that Harry had rarely heard there before. "He thought I'd like this."
Telling Neville what Professor Sprout had said, Harry thought, had been a very tactful way of cheering Neville up, for Neville very rarely heard that he was good at anything. It was the sort of thing Professor Lupin would have done. Harry and Ron took their copies of Unfogging the Future back down to the common room, found a table, and set to work on their predictions for the coming month.
An hour later they had made very little progress, though their table was littered with bits of parchment bearing sums and symbols, and Harry's brain was as fogged as though it had been filled with the fumes from Professor Trelawney's fire. "I haven't got a clue what this lot's supposed to mean," he said, staring down at a long list of calculations. "You know," said Ron, whose hair was on end because of all the times he had run his fingers through it in frustration, "I think it's back to the old divination standby." "What, make it up?" "Yeah," said Ron, sweeping the jumble of scrawled notes off the table, dipping his pen into some ink, and starting to write. "Next Monday," he said, as he scribbled, "I am likely to develop a cough, owing to the unlucky conjunction of Mars and Jupiter." He looked up at Harry. "You know her. Just put in loads of misery. She'll lap it up." "Right," said Harry, crumpling up his first attempt and lobbing it over the heads of a group of chattering first-years into the fire. "Okay. On Monday I will be in danger of, burns." "Yeah, you will be," said Ron darkly. "We're seeing the scroots again on Monday. Okay, Tuesday I'll, "'Lose a treasured possession," said Harry, who was flicking through Unfogging the Future for ideas. "Good one," said Ron, copying it down. "Because of, Mercury. Why don't you get stabbed in the back by someone you thought was a friend?" "Yeah, cool," said Harry, scribbling it down, "because Venus is in the 12th house. And on Wednesday I think I'll come off worst in a fight." "Ah, I was going to have a fight. Okay, I'll lose a bet." "Yeah, you'll be betting I'll win my fight." They continued to make up predictions, which grew steadily more tragic, for another hour, while the common room around them slowly emptied as people went up to bed. Crookshanks wandered over to them, leapt lightly into an empty chair, and stared inscrutably at Harry, rather as Hermione might look if she knew they weren't doing their homework properly.